ShasIlluminated.org presents the following shiur by Rabbi Levi Langer. Maseches Sanhedrin is dedicated by Mr. Zisha Lipschitz in honor of Rabbi Yaakov Metz.
Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Chof Gimel. The third parak of Sanhedrin opens with the Mishnah, Dinim Mamnas B'Shloisha, that a monetary judgment requires a bezin of three. Zeboyer Le'echod, Zeboyer Le'echod, Ushnehem, Aboyer Lohan, Oyd Echod, and that's a mayor. So this is known today as the Zablo Bezdin. It's an acronym, Zebur Le'echod. Each litigant, each Baldin, picks one Dayan, and together, Remeir says, together the two Balidin pick the third Dayan. The Chum say, together the third Dayanim pick the third Dayan. The two Dayanim pick the third Dayan, and you have a Bezdin of three. That's the Gemara's Maskona. In the Maskona, the Gemara teaches it in this manner. The Havamina, the Gemara teaches the Mishnah differently. In the Havamina, the Gemara teaches the Mishnah to mean that each Baldin could choose, he chooses his Bezdin, the other chooses the other Bezdin, but each could reject the Bezdin chosen by the other, and therefore they'll have to get together and choose a Bezdin, as Shnehem Boilem Oirechot, get together and choose a Bezdin, which they're both Maskim, and both can agree on together. So the Gemara ask the question, is it really true in the Havamina that the loive, the bar, will be able to reject the malva's bezin? Don't we find later on at the end of the perek here that the malva could choose to go to the mokam havad, the central bezin in the vad location, and the loive is unable to reject the malva's choice of the bezin? Only the malva could reject the loive's bezin, the loive can't reject the malva's. So what's pshat here, where it seems in the Mishnah in the Havamina that either could reject the bezin of the other? The Gemara answers, Kigoin, Beidina de Rav Huna v'Rav Chista, the Omalei, Mai Kamatarach Nolocho. So we're talking over here about a case of the equivalent of the bezin of Rav Huna and Rav Chista, which Rashi teaches to mean that Rav Huna and Rav Chista both had a bezin in the same Mokoim, the same town. And therefore, in such a case, even the Loive will be able to reject the Malveth bezin and say, I want to go to the other bezin in the same town. I'm not being Matriach, you. In the case the Loive wanted Matriach, the Malveth suggests a bezin in another town that he can't do. But since Rav Huna and Rav Chista had different Potidin in the same town, same Mokoim, that's what Rashi teaches. So therefore, even the Loive will be able to reject the bezin of the malva. Tosis over here is masig on Rashi, and Tosis Taina says it's impossible to say that Rav Huna and Rav Chista had bought it in the same town, because Tosis brings down from Erevin Daf Samach Beis that Rav Chista wasn't Moira Halacha in front of Rav Huna since he was a Talmud, and therefore he was a Talmud, he's not allowed to paskin in front of Rav Huna, and Tosis Taina he can't even have a bezin in the same town as Rav Huna, and therefore, consequently, says Tosis, we must learn, not like Rashi, who says Rav Huna and Chista are both, but they're in the same town, you have to learn they were different towns. They were smuchin zelozeh chutz legimel parsois. It was actually three parsois away, one from the other, because Tosis has an emingon that if they would have been in the same location, within the three parsois, it would have been impossible for Rav Huna and Rav Chista to have bote din the same mokoim, since Rav Chista was a Talmud of Rav Huna. The Goin in the Bir Hagro in Yeridei Asim and Reishon and Beis elaborates on this machloikis between Rashi and Tosis, and the Goin says that Tosis over here goes l'shitoso, consistent with what Tosis himself says elsewhere in Masechta Erevin Daf Samach Beis. In Erevin Daf Samach Beis, Tosis brings Raya's from the Gemara that Rav Chista was a Talmud Chover of Rav Huna. He was not a regular Talmud Gomor of Rav Huna, he was a Talmud Chover. A Talmud Chover is someone who is a colleague and a disciple at the same time, a bit of a mix between them. It's a bit of a shaila exactly what a Talmud Chover is. In Yeridei Reishon Beis, we find that a Talmud Chover is someone who was a Talmud, but afterwards became oisgestigen, afterwards grew in stature and learning, to the point that he became something of a colleague of his Rebbe. So then he has to give his Rebbe something of the kovoid of a Talmud to a Rav, but not the tremendous, the same kovoid as a Talmud Gomor. So Rav Chista was a Talmud Chover of Rav Huna, and consequently, Tosef over there explains, so Tosef brings Raya's al Pidarko, according to his understanding, that a Talmud Gomor is unable to set up a Bezin, even three parsois away from his Rebbe. Even that is considered to be a prikas oil, or taking off the yoke of the aim of the covet that he has to have for his Rebbe. So a Talmud Gomor even can't be a chutz legimel parsois. A Talmud Chover is allowed to be chutz legimel parsois, and that's what Tosef means over here, says the Goin. And Tosef says here that Rav Chista was able to set up a bezdin three parsois away from Rav Huna. That's consistent with Tosef's statement in Erev and Daf Samach Beis that Rav Chosda was a Talmud Chaver of Rav Huna, and that by a Talmud Chaver with a dinim of Emo or less, that therefore he's allowed to set up his Bezdin at Chaponim with his outside of the three persois. So the Goin, that's all Tosfos Shita. Masha Inkein Rashi, so the Goin over here, Rashi could disagree with Tosfos. Since we know that Rav Chosda was a Talmud Chaver of Rav Huna, Rashi could hold that a Talmud Chaver is allowed to set up a Bezdin even Toich Gimel persois of his Rebbe, contrary to Tosfos Shita, and therefore Rashi will shtim, Rashi will be able to say that Mokam Echod, which means, says the Goin, in the same town, even Toich Gemar Persois, Rashi held that Rav Chisda will be able to set up a Beznit. Now, Lamaisa, the Gemara does say, like Tosfos quotes, Rav Chisda never paskin befonov of Rav Huna, but he is mamash in front of Rav Huna. However, the Goin says that would not pose a problem for Rashi, since Rashi could simply hold, like the Shita of the Rivosh that's brought down by the Ramah in Yeridaya Reishman Beis, that the Ramah brings the Shita of Rivosh, that the Rivosh Taka held the Halacha, like certain Rishonim hold, that a Talmud Chover is allowed to pass in a Halacha within the Gemara Parsois of his Rebbe, or Afal Pikein, Dr. Rivosh, brought down to the Ramah, that the fun of mamish of the Rebbe would be usher for the Talmud Chover to pass in. So that would be Befon of Mamish, and Meirushin is very well. Rashi over here is saying that the same Mokoim you could have, the same town, the same Shtot, you could have Rav Huna and Rav Chisda having opposing bodies in. I, Tosfos, asked from the Gemara that Mavuah that Rav Chisda never passed in front of Rav Huna, even a very minor Psak. And the answer is that talking about Befon of Mamish, which that is, the like the Rivosh already speaks that anyway, that is a special din, Befon of Mamish, that there even the Talmud Chover is unable to pass. And so the Goyim makes this into a Machlekes Rishonim in Hilchos, Talmud Chover, how much of an Ema he has to have in front of his Rebbe. According to Tosfos, he's allowed set up a Bezdin, but not Toikom Parsois. According to Rashi, the way the Goin explains, Rashi will like the Rivosh, that even Toikom Parsois is mutter as long as it's not Befon of Mamish. Hakoponim, everyone is agreeing that you have two Madregos in Halacha, and by the Talmud Chaver, it seems that he has one Isur of Moira Halacha and Rabbi, but not the other Isur. Moira Halacha and Rabbi apparently is also that Tosfos is Mechiach by the Talmud Gomor, even outside the Gemara Parsois from the Rebbe. The Talmud Chaver has a lesser din, according to Tosfos, is Mutter Chusim Parsois, and according to Rashi, even Toikom Parsois, but not Bafonov. In order to understand the Asoidos of the different Madregos and Marilofanei Rabbi, we need to say over some of the Asoidos, what we find, particularly brought out in a Sefer Til David and Yerudea, and Simon Chafala from Rav David Mann, and over there he explains the following. The Til David explains that there's Tzvei Dinim, two distinct halachos within the Isur of Moir Halacha Nei Rabbi to Paskin Halacha in front of one's Rebbe. So one of them is Befon of Mamish, if you Paskin directly in front of him, and there the Til David explains that the Etzem Maisa Hiro is a Maisa Pegia in the Moira that a person has to have to his Rebbe. If you're in front of your Rebbe, your Rebbe is the source of your Halacha, and he's greater than you in Halacha. He's the one you have to defer to him when a Psak Shiloh comes up, and here, directly in front of his face, directly in front of him, you're paskining, in showing your independence from your Rebbe, your independent ability to paskin. So that's an etzem pegia, it's a maisa of a rebellion, so to speak, in the moir that a Talmud has to have to his Rebbe, and the maisa yirah of paskin in front of a Rebbe, when it's directly in front of him, is a maisa pegia in his kovet. That's the first din of Meir Halacha. The second halacha of Meir Halacha Rabbi, says the Tila David, is when it's not befon of mamish, but you're in proximity to him, or in the same time as him, different shitas and cases. So over there, if you're not be'etzem befon of, there the maisa hiro is not an etzem maisa of a pegia in his kovet or in his moira, but the fact that a person would be kiveya a bezdin in a kaviya sticker oifen to set himself up as an independent halachic authority who's apparently fully independent of his Rebbe, Behoraya, he's able to totally independently paskin shayles instead of a bezdin on his own. So, in such a case, we would not say that any gevissa, any specific maisa hira, is a pegia in the moir that the Talmud has to have to the Rebbe, but the klolius, the kikivius, the general setting up of oneself as a moir hira kavua, and demonstrating your independent abilities, independent of that of your Rebbe, that is the pegia in the moir of the Rebbe. That's why we do find, for example, says the Hilda David, that the Radvaz, in his Perish on Rambam Paskins, in Hilchas Sanhedrin Perichof, and the Radvaz brings a raya to this from the Lashon HaRambam himself, in that the advanced paskins, that the problem with setting up paskining shaloi befonov of the Rebbe is only when you do it b'derech keva and not when you do it b'derech arai. If you do it befonov of your Rebbe, this is a paskin in front of your Rebbe, that's also even b'derech arai, even on a one-time basis. To do it b'derech, to do it not in front of your Rebbe, is only osir b'derech kiva and not b'derech arai. What's the difference between b'fonov and not b'fonov? So for them, zokt the Tehillah David, since when it's not b'fonov, the isir is not in any particular ma'isa hiro. It's not that any particular ma'isa hiro is a ma'isa isir, but it's b'klal, the general demonstrating that you're totally independent of your Rebbe, and you're able to be a poisek kavua, independent of your Rebbe. So there, the issa would only be b'derech kavios and not b'derech arai, since we're not going to ask for any specific ma'isa hiro, but just in general the demonstration that one is completely independent of the Rebbe, and that demonstration only comes about b'derech keva. Likewise, we find zokter a toisus in Sanhedrin daf hey talks about whether an atilas rishus on the Rebbe helps. What happens if I ask rishus? Like, ask rishus, do you permission to paskin halacha? Can I paskin halacha then, or is it a moy lachem hey rabbi? And Tosfos in Hidden Daf Hey is machalik between b'fonov and not b'fonov. So he said b'fonov be also even with an atilas rishus. Shaloi b'fonov, the atilas rishus helps. What's the difference b'fonov and shaloi b'fonov? If the them zok the tilu David, exactly the same word. Zok there that if you're b'fonov, the etzem maisa of the psak of paskin halacha in front of him is a maisa pegiya b'kvoidoi. So over there, it doesn't make a difference if you got rishus from him or not. The fact that you're right in front of him and you're acting as the poisik b'mokan your rebbe, that's an etzem pegiya in his covenant, and his rishus does not help. However, if you're shalei b'fonov, where there's no etzem pegiya, intrinsic infraction, intrinsic rebellion against his kovod or his moira, but rather the pegiya b'kvoidoi comes about by virtue of the fact that since you set up a bezden kavua outside of him, so you showed yourself as a fully independent individual, which is a Talmud, you should not be fully independent of your Rebbe. That's a begia in his Moira. So there, vibalt, that the Isser is only by virtue of the fact that you demonstrated your independence of him. So over here, he gave you the Rishus, and you set up yourself as a Moira, birshusai, you haven't shown your independence of him. Fakat, you're dependent upon him, and you were dependent upon his Rishus. So there, birshusai, the setting of a bezden kavua wouldn't demonstrate the independence from the Rebbe, and in Mele, you don't have the Soid ha'isur. That's how the Tilla David explains this point. And finally, there's a final Nakuda as well, which is a tour in Simin Reishman Beis, B'shem, his father, the Rosh. The tour brings down over there that if one is a Talmud Chover, although it certainly is also to paskin b'fonov of the Rebbe, like we saw over here, Taisa brings a riot to it, there's no question a Talmud Chover can't paskin in front of his Rebbe. However, the Rosh says that this the Chazal say, and it's brought in the Shulchan Aruch, that a Moir Lachan Rabbi is Chay of Misa, which means it's Chay of Misa B'dei Shemayim. It's a very, very severe Isur, the Paskin Lachan in front of your Rebbe. So this Chay of Misa B'dei Shemayim that you find in a Moir Lachan Rabbi doesn't apply to a Talmud Chaver. It only applies to a Talmud Gomor, a complete Talmud. Talmud Chaver is not allowed to Paskin Lachan Rebbe, but it's not a B'dei Shemayim. What's the difference? So the Bir HaGros says in Yeridei Reishman Beis that the difference is that since we find that the source, the Mokar in the Torah, for the din the Lachan Rabbi is Chayav Misa, which means Chayav Misa Shemayim, the mock of that comes from the Bnei Aaron, which, according to one day in Chazal, the Nod of Anavi, the Bnei Aaron, they were Machtik Torahs, and they took the Machtois in Bifnim, and they did it, according to what the Gemara says, that they paskin in front of the Rebbe Moshe, did not ask Moshe to paskin the Shiloh, and because of that, they became Chayav Misa, which is why they died B'din Shemayim. So the Goin says, Vibalt, that the mocker for the fact that Lachan Rabbi is Chayav Misa comes from the Bnei Aaron, and Bnei Aaron were Talmud Gomors of Moshe Rabbeinu. They weren't just Talmud Chovers, obviously. Gans Klaus was a Talmud Gomor of Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, that's the whole mocker for this day Shemayim, and consequently, the only Misa Shemayim is only by a Talmud Gomor, not by a Talmud Chover. Until the Dalit Tain is on this Goin, that Afal Pikein, even the Goin is technically correct, Afal Pikein, we still would need to find some Klora Hesber, some beer in the difference between the Din Pegir in the Moir Rabboi of the Talmud Chover and the Moir Rabboi of the Talmud Gomer, because if they can't find a difference, then a kaponim, it's all going to funnel into the same yesoid, that if it's b'fonov, it's a begiyah b'moiroi, and it's also b'chol gavni, regardless Talmud Chover or Talmud Gomer. So then why don't we have the same ramifications, the same repercussions, that if he's begiyah in the covenant, Rebbe, he should have the same b'dizmiz d'shamayim? What's the difference if it happens to be, punkt b'mikra, that the case that we find in a chumash is by a case of Moshe Rabbeinu, who was a Rebbe Gomer, and Gans Klaus was a Talmud Gomer? You have to find the yesoid of the chiluk. Sof kol sof, in both cases, Talmud Gomer and Talmud Chover, there is in fact a din moira b'fonov when it's b'fonov, and you're not allowed. So why should it be a chiluk? So on that, the Til David says that what the Goyim really means to bring out the Yesoid HaDvorim is that the The Talmud Gomer, the Talmud Chofer, as we said before, doesn't have the tzveite din of Moira Halacha. He doesn't have the din, the iser, to demonstrate one's independence from the Rebbe, because Vibalte Hosich Oiskestigen, he used to be a Talmud Gomer, but now he grew in learning Gishtaigd, he learned a lot on his own, and in fact he is independent of his Rebbe. So Avada, the Talmud Chofer, is Mechoyov, to Mechabed his Rebbe anyway, because of the fact that his Rebbe is the one who taught him all of his learning originally. The Rebbe taught him his learning originally. He's misyachas to Rebbe with a relationship, a yachas of a Talmud to a rabbi. And a meila, vada vada, he does have chiyuve kavoy, that he's mechuyev klapi his Rebbe. But to say that he has a second tzveita halacha, that he has an iser of demonstrating his independence from his Rebbe, that's impossible to say, because in fact he is independent of the Rebbe. He's no longer constantly kokulo tolu on the epin strings of the Rebbe, so to speak, because he did steig and he did grow, and now he has a tremendous amount of learning of his own. So the demonstrating of the independence will not be an iser for a Talmud Chover, and therefore, consequently, that's why the Talmud Chover be a soidoi has the iser befonov, but not the iser shloi befonov, zokt the Tilo David. Because the befonov dike iser is a maise iser, it's pasha the flagrant disrespect, like a pachim ponim, so to speak, to the Rebbe. He's the Rebbe, he's standing right there, and you're the Talmud, and you paskin the Shiloh, where he was right there. So that's a maise iser of a flagrant disrespect to the Rebbe, and a mail of that iser the Talmud Chover has. But the iser shloi befonov, which is only an iser of showing that one is independent of Rebbe, one is independently capable, one is independently able to pass kashayos on one's own, that a Talmud Chover would not have, because a Talmud Chover really did shtaygoy subsequent after he learned from his Rebbe, and now he's very, very independent, capable, and very able. He has all the ideas and all the knowledge, and he could paskin. So there's a little bit fun of the iser that a Talmud Chover would not have. May lezokt of them the Tilo David, that the what we're really saying over here in this Bir Hakra is that the din of Chayav Miso, which is a tremendously harsh thing, a tremendously chomot gezach, is Chayav Miso, so that only applies where both Yesoidos of Moira Halacha are going to come together. That's how it's Befonov, and therefore it's an Etzem Pegiyah in his covet intrinsically, a Pachem Pana, so to speak. But in addition, you also, on top of that, didn't just do a Maisa Isser, but you show that you're independent of him and fully able to paskin, independent of being totally in him, independent of asking him any questions. So since it only comes, this din of Chayav Misa, only comes when you have both Yisraelis coming together, then that's why it doesn't apply Shaloi Befanov of the Rebbe, and it also doesn't apply Befanov of his Talmud Chover, because the Talmud Chover doesn't have the Tzveite Isser of showing one's independence. He only has the Etzem Maisa Pegiyah Halacha, the Pachim Ponim, so to speak, that he right in front of him, and you paskin, and not him. So since that's the only Isser the Talmud Chover has, the Mele doesn't have the Choymer Hadvorim, it's not harsh enough to merit that it should have a Chayav Misa. That's a Tilo David explanation. With that, just to come back over here to our machloikis between Rashi and Tosfos and Sanhedrin Chof Gimel, just to say it over in this context of these hesbeirim, so the ma'aseh, both Rashi and Tosfos, the way that the Gaon is explaining, Rashi and Tosfos are both agreeing that Rav Chisda had a kula in Hilchas Moir Halacha, like Hilchas Moir Rabbi, he had to give us a kula that a Talmud Gomer would not have, because he was only a Talmud Chover, and therefore the dinim were less chomer on him. Tosfos shita is that because he was only a Talmud Chover, therefore he had a lot of paskin chutzim pasois from his Rebbe. Rashi shita is, and this is the way that the Ramah brings from the Rosh Hashanah Aruch, that Rashi is going to hold that even chutzim pasois he get paskin as long as he's not a fan of mamish. Isn't there nekuda this? This chiluk is going to be totally on the two dinim that we spoke of. That says that Rashi is going to work it very well. Rashi is going to make the chiluk befonov and not befonov. That says that, as we said, that the Talmud Chover doesn't have the iser of Moir Halacha of Shlo Befonov, because that's under the Yesoid. The Yesoid of Shlo Befonov is because you show that you're independently capable and you're not totally in your Rebbe. And the truth is that Talmud Chover really is independently capable, because he worked on himself and he acquired a great deal of yedias and ability after he left the Rebbe. Therefore, the Talmud Chover really is independently able. He only has the Issa Befonov, and that's taka like Rashi holds, and like the Goyim brings, like the Reb Moshe says from the Rivosh, that the Issa is only Befonov Mamish, and over here it wasn't Befonov Mamish. Tosfos, however, is apparently going to broaden the parameters of the Erista Din of Befonov to include everything that's Toshkim and Parsois. And as long as you're Toshkim and Parsois and you're paskining, that's like, so to speak, you're tapping on the toes of the Rebbe. It's the direct Pashim Ponim. But Koyim Mamish, you're going to paskin as Hamish Chutzpah. So in Meila, Tosfos held that any Toshkim and Parsois is automatically included in, so to speak, the first din. of Moira Halacha, which is a direct patch upon him, it's a Maisa Isser. That's why Taisa held that it's impossible even a Tamil Chover to pass game when he's Taikon Parsois, only Chunzikon Parsois, then all you have is the general broad concept that you're setting yourself up as an independently able person, and vice versa, you're not totally near Rebbe, so then Tamil Chover doesn't have that, then that's why Taisa Lefishi Tosoi is Matir, the Tamil Chover, Chutz, the Gimel Parsois. The Mishnah goes on to say that according to Rav Meir, ze poisel the yonu shel ze, ze poisel the yonu shel ze. Each one could passel the other one's dying. The Chum say no, that you can't, unless you bring a raya that they're krovim or psulim. But without bringing a raya that krovim psulim, you would not be able to paskin yenim's dying. The Gemara says that what does it mean you could passel his dying? Kol kamina the passel the yoni, you're able to passel the dying? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan answered that we've been talking about in our Mishnah something called erkois shabasuria. So the suria types of quartz, the erkois shabasuria, that's the one case in which you're able to passel his dying, but regular case, can't passel his dying. What is this erkois shabasuria? So there's a big machloikas vishenim over here brought down to the Chadushi Haran. The Ran brings the first day of the Yesh Meforshim that they learn erkois shabasuria means the yoni that don't know any din Torah, they don't know any halachas of the Torah, but they're living in mekoymos which are not b'nei Torah, and therefore unable to have the yonim. Nobody's qualified over there. The people are not b'nei Torah, and they are going to paskin kefi oimet daitam, which means they say just their own personal evaluation, make up a decision, but they can't call pi mishpatei Torah. They don't know any Torah, and therefore that's where the machloekes of Meir Lechem is going to apply in this place of a koyish b'suria, where they set up the yonim who are totally ignorant, don't know anything, and I hope he can. The Chachamim hold that they're kavua and they're set up, and therefore you can't passel unless you show the krim psulim. And Hashem Kirim Meir is going to hold that you could passel because they're koyish shabasuria. That's the first day, and the Ran does not like this shita. The Ran, he asks a question on it, that if that would be true, why would anybody say that you can't passel them? Why would the Chachamim hold you can't passel them? In fact, the Ran, it's shver. I mean, it's nice. They're totally ignorant people and completely incapable. So why in the world would it be impossible to? Of course, you could reject them. Why should it be not able to reject? So the Ram says on there that you could defend this parish, and you could say that since we're talking in Mekoymois that they're not b'nei Torah at all, and there was mamash no qualified dayan, nobody who knew Torah, and so all the people of the city were makabel upon themselves that these individuals were paskin according to their own oimed dayton, according to their own thinking, and they were makabel upon themselves these dayanim with a kabbalah gemura, with a complete kavias, to the point at which, according to Rabbana, we'll be actually unable to passel them. We find a parallel to this shita in the Beis Yosef, Choshen Mishpot, in Simen Ches. The Beis Yosef there brings down the Tshuvas HaRazba, it says actually the same thing, and the same shot on this Gemara itself. That the Razba was asked over there about Ayoroi's towns that Yimamish don't have, Ein Behem Afilu Yosheyedea Afilu Ois Achas. There is Mamish, nobody knows even a single letter of Torah. Mamish, totally ignorant people. What are you going to do? I mean, we have to set up some sort of a judge in town. You can't have not even judges in the town at all. If you're not going to set up any judges, so then the Rajah brings that Nemtsu Hochem Ba Koyesh Goyim. They're going to go to Goyesh courts, which of course is a very big Aveira. And like Rashi brings the Chumash, brings the Mishpatim, and the Shulchan Aruch says, Koyesh Goyim, it's a big Aveira to be done in front of Goyesh courts. So how are you going to set up their judges? So the Rajah over there explains that if you have complete ignorance on their part, what you have to do is you'll set up judges anyway, and from amongst the townspeople, and you'll remind them, you'll set them up ladas an shehu'ir, with the acceptance of the town, of everybody in the town, even though they're not Bekian, and they don't know any halacha, we have to set up judges for them, hakol lefi tzorach hashoah, everything according to the hour, the need of the hour. And a chanami avadu, we would never want such a thing, it's certainly not mutlach hatchil at all. However, according to the need of the hour, that we're going to, v'hakol ma'isechu yu l'shem shamayim, it's like the Rashba, we do it l'shem shamayim, and as long as all the townspeople are going to be called upon themselves, and these become the owner of the town, and that is, Zakti Rashba, that is a koi shebesuria of our Mishnah, that ain echon mehem yochol apoislo. The Rashba, in fact, says that that's what our Rabbana Mishnah are going to hold, and we're going to paskin, that that's the koi shebesuria, totally ignorant people that just paskin according to whatever their thinking happens to be, and no, neither side of the other is going to be able to passel them. Avada says the Rashba, he fears always, you have to find anoshim ksherim, yirili kim, soini botza, anoshim avine mado. In other words, even though granted they're totally ignorant, give them, make sure that they're perceptive people, make sure that they're fearless of the bein shalom, make sure that they don't take any bribes, they're extremely honest. The first dates of all of these things are going to be very, very important, even if everyone in the townspeople is entirely ignorant. The round over here brings down a second day, which is a day of Rabbeinu David, that the Rabbeinu David learned up that a kosh shel besuria does not mean that people are absolutely ignorant. It means actually they are somewhat knowledgeable, but rather zok there, the yoishvei kronos, the people who are not, they're not people who constantly masmid them in learning, constantly learning, they don't have a tremendous bekius and abilities in learning. Aber zok there, these are people that do have some ability, as such to the point that if you have three of them, so manastam yefshed legom echad minayu, say, so we'll assume that someone from that bezin, if you have three of them, someone was familiar with the law, that the halacha in this case of this bezin, like the Gemara says in the first parak, there's a svar like that, that the Gimel had yoytos, we assume that somebody, some one of them, knows some knowledge about this case. And therefore, that would be the machloikis of that the people who are somewhat knowledgeable, they just don't have the tremendous madrigals of the onus. And over there, it may says, you set them up, but you could pass the animus dayan. And why could you pass it, by the way, Zokter? So he goes into a reason. He says, the reason is because the Baldin Kotayin, that I'm personally going to get myself a dayan who's a moncha, who's a tremendous able. You found yourself a dayan who's a yoshvei kronos. My dayan is not going to be able to talk to your dayan. You'll yucha lisa velitin, misha any day a safer. Hodesh fosteredin, you know, you have nobody to talk to. So my dayan is not maskim, and that would be a good tayin. Besides that, there's a swara that you don't want to be together with a dayan who's ignorant, because you want to be from the ki hadas. Zokter Rabbeinu David, the ki hadas, people who are exceptional. Exceptional, careful about who they associate with, who they interact with, and mainly you don't. Your my dayan is a mumcha; he's not going to want to interact with your ignorant dayan. Al kaponim zotah ben David. That's the case of the Gemara, that there is a basic level of knowledge, just not that they meet the requisite qualifications. That's ben David. The Chazon Ish comments on both of these shitas. So in the shita ben David, the Chazon Ish says that we're talking about someone who really does fundamentally know, and that's Taka Mashva in the Lashon over here is fundamentally knowledgeable. The Chazon Ish says he was kora v'shana v'sh. Shilesh Ella Vashimesh Ella Shalishimish called Sarcha. In other words, El Maisi, he learned and he had his learning. He was even Meshamish to the Chachamim, because of that you're not going to have to apply the halachas for Shteitzach. But he wasn't Meshamish called Sarcha. So that's what the Rabbeinu David meant when he spoke of the Anna who are really fundamentally capable and fundamentally qualified. There's just the lacking the full qualifications, and that's where the Meir said he could passel, and the Chachamim said that he can't. And the other sheet, the first sheet of the Ran, the Chazonish comments as follows. He said, Lamaisi, we're talking about someone who's totally ignorant. That means he knows nothing at all. So how is he going to pass it if he's totally ignorant? How is he going to decide? So either he can decide by the gut. You know, every single time something comes before him, he just goes by his feelings. I think this, I think that. Or he can invent a rule system of his own and just go by, write up his own law book and invent some so-called halachas of a pseudo halachas of his own. And then he'll pass him based on his own rule book. Or he can follow the Goyish legal system. He knows how to read Goyish and he'll find some books and find go with the Goyish legal system and pass him that way. It's not the Chazanish that he believes that not only is the last scenario totally usher, even by a completely ignorant person, there's no way b'shumoifin can be matir that you're going to have a Goyisha law book that's going to be deciding your psalka, it's for sure out. But not just that, even if I invent a Jewish law book, it comes from me, and I'm Jewish, so therefore it's a Jewish law book, it's all invented dinim and invented statutes and laws, it'll be totally also the paskin on those. And that, the Chazon Ish, is doimim mamish to ergoy, koyisein shel goyim. He considered that to be exactly equivalent to going in front of a Goyish court, which is called Meirim Yad B'teres Moshe. The Shulchan Aruch means in very strong expressions. The Chazon Ish brings it down over here. He says, what's the difference if you're going to a Goyish court where the members of the court happen to be Jewish? It makes no nafka minna. Which, by the way, is also in a gear today. Incidentally, the place can say in the legal secular court system of Israel, the state of Israel today, in today's terms, the same thing. If the judges happen to be Jewish, doesn't take away Israel Koyishan Shal Goyim. But that's the Chazon Ish is saying over here. So why shouldn't it be called a Koyishan Shal Goyim just because you happen to have Jewish? Dayanim, and they happen to be Jews, that they don't know any halachas whatsoever, and decide they're passing their psalkim either based on some Goyish law system or based on some invented law system that they came up with. Both of those are totally awesome. Rather, Zata Chazon Ish, the only way that you came out of this case is. His lashon is Emino Bal Seichel Lodun Kefi Musare Ha'odam. That's, in other words, that he's not going to paskin based upon some kind of law system. He'll just think with his hergush, with his gut feeling, according to he's an ethical person, he's a person who's intelligent and a perceptive individual. Each case comes before him, he'll just, what his hergush tells him is going to be the right way, with what's the ashras, he'll paskin with that. And that is that the Chazon Ish paskin without any legal system. And in such a case at hand, where it's impossible to do any other way, that we're going to imati you to do. And Zokter, that's nichlal, what the Gemara speaks of in the first parak, it's nichlal the halacha of pshara. Pshara is also when a bezin two bali didn't come in front of a bezin. Instead of bezin passing based on the shulchan aruch or the halachas kavuas in the gemara, bezin makes a pshara. That's something which bezin could do. So that's what these dayanim, the chazanish, who are musorim, musorius, they can mention ethical people who are perceptive and intelligent and capable of understanding. So in such a case, that's loy nikar de ozvu makoyim mayim chayim lachzev lehem boyus ishborim. That's like the haftarah of Parshas Masay. Is that it's not nikar that they left the legal system of the Torah to go with some other legal system, because they didn't go with any legal system. They were done camp shore, just with the hegeish of what they think is right in each case. And that's the pshat in the first day in the rounds of the Chazanish and in the Chuvas HaRashbo, brought down the Beis Yosef. You have to makpel on this thing, the Dafka Paskin, based upon the feeling that the Dayan has, the perception that he has, rather than coming up with some sort of outside law system. The Gemara goes on to be done on what the Rebbe Meir continues. It says, Zeh poisel eidov shal zeh, it says in the Mishnah, Vezeh poisel eidov shal zeh, and the Chum say, you can't passel the Yenim's eidim unless it turns out that the Krivim of Psulim. And of course, the Gemara Matas of Chasach, trying to figure out what in the world does it mean, according to Meir, that you can passel the Yenim's eidim. So near the beginning of the Sugya, the Gemara suggests that maybe you should say eidoi, in other words, that Yenim only brought one aid, and since there's only one aid, so you can go ahead and disqualify him. For the Gemara, what does that mean? It also doesn't make sense. What is the one aid coming for? If he's coming from Momoy, and that's Rachmona Pasle, the Torah itself passes him. If he's coming to Shvua, if he's coming to Mechayev Shvua, then which Eidecha could do. So that's the Gemara says a Loshin, Himnuni Yehemin Kebei Trey. As far as the Shvua came, the Torah itself trusts and believes an aid the same as two people. The aid to believe, one aid believes us as much as two when it comes to Shvua. And therefore, Manashach, you can't pass. So if it's one aid on Mumnis, he's not believed at all. One aid on Shvua, the Baldin can't pass. So Vaiter is still Shver, and the Gemara goes through a Hemshech, where the Pshat and the Meir, that the Meir says that you can poisel aid us all there. The Heintiges Forum over here note that Be'emes is a big deal, and that this is a big shayl in Achroinim and even in Rishonim. What is the Yesod Hadin that an Eid Echod is possible for Mammon and only two Eidim are kosher? There's a basic Hakira over here, a basic shayl. The basic Hakira is as follows. When we say that one Eid is not believed for Mammon and two are, is that because one Eid is lacking in Nemonos? The Nemonis, in other words, that one aid is just not believed. Maybe he's lying. If it's two aid, it's much less likely that they're lying. They come together like that in the story. One aid is more likely he's lying and it's a son of Nemonis. That's one way to learn. But the other way to learn is comparable, but the Gemara of Abbasra tells us about the Psul Kroivim. The halacha is that a Korav can't testify for a Korav, but that's not the Gemara of Abbasra. That's not because that there's a Chash Meshaker. That since it's your Korav, you'll lie for them. It could well be there is a Chash Meshaker, but the Gemara says that the truth is that the Psul Korva is applicable even to cases like Moshe V'Yaron. Moshe and Aaron can't testify one to the other because they're Kroivim, and there's no shash that they'll in any way be lacking in full trustworthiness or believability with Moshe V'Yaron. And Alpha Pekin, it's a Gezeiras HaKosuv, says the Gemara V'Asra, that a Korv is possible. If that's the case, we could clear the same thing over here. Maybe the fact that the one aid is not accepted for Mumnis, it might not be a question of believability and reliability, but rather a question of Gezeiras HaKosuv. It's just Gezeiras HaKosuv that the Torah doesn't accept one aid and only accepts two. Now the image is that this is really 2 days in the Taisa Rosh, and this is pointed out, the Taisa Rosh and Gittin the Fudim at Beis. It's interesting, the Taisa Rosh Mamish has a stickle on it, but he does. Over there, the case is that a star comes in front of Bezdin and a Jew, regular Yid, and a Kusi are signed on the star. Now, the Kusi were not considered by Chazal to be believable, and therefore, the Kusi signature doesn't work, and you only have one signature on the star, which is no good. What happens if the Yisrael signed after the Kusi, the Gemara says? So if the Yisrael signed after the Kusi, then we could accept the Kusi's signature, because we would never on that the Yid would never sign after the Kusi, right below the Kusi, if he didn't accept the Kusi and know the Kusi is a believable, trustworthy person. But therefore, consequently, if the Yid is signed below the Kusi, you'll be able to accept the Kusi signature as well. Frektov then the Taisa Rosh, Tamo, so the Taisa Rosh, he says, this is a Tamo. What the Tamo is up there, that ultimately in this case, being Moitzi alone, a Puma de Chatzada based on one aid. Because basically, how's the Kusi alone? You would totally reject him and completely ignore him. He's a Kusi is not reliable. Elamai, why are you accepting it? Because the Yisrael, the other aid, the regular Yisrael signed below him. So ultimately, that means that it all boils down to the fact that it's all coming out of the one aid Yisrael, because based upon him, you decided to resurrect the Kusi signature, etc. So he did everything that one aid Yisrael, and therefore, why should that be okay? You have to emote him with two aid them and not with one. That's the Taisa Rosh's question. And Taisa Rosh says on this, two mahalchim. The first thing he says is, Yesh roitzim ledakdeik mikan, there are those who hold that you could take out of this thing, that this, the Mashe Tzricho Torah Shnei Eidim, this is the Torah requires two Eidim as opposed to one, Lav Mishom Dechshad Chad Choshed L'Shaker. It's not because when I have one Eid, he's Choshed, that he's going to lie, and therefore I have to have two to make it not less likely to lie. No, it's not a Chshash M'Shaker, Zokter, Elo Gzeiras Melachi, Kada Aminen Gabi Kroivim, Moish and Aaron, Lav Mishom D'Loy Mehemni, the Torah says, in other words, it could be it's Gzeiras HaKosev and nothing to do with any kind of lack of believability or reliability. There's a cause of that one, it is not believing the need to. And that's why, in the case over here, where the Yid signed under the Kusi, so now I know I could accept the Kusi signatures, and now but see us, I have two signatures. Lamaisa is all dependent upon one question, whether the Yid is telling the truth or the Yid is lying. It doesn't make a difference, because it would be a Shash Mashaker, I want to have double the proof. But over here, it's not a Shash Mashaker, it's a question of Xerxes HaKosev. So all I need is double the signatures, and I could do that in a technicality. I could say I would have not accepted the Kusi signature, but now the Yisrael sign below him, it must be that the Kusi is acceptable. I do accept the Kusi signature, and the male I have to, and that's perfectly okay as long as I name on that the Yisraelitim say, as long as I name on that the whole problem in the first place was only Xerxes HaKosev issue. And Taisa Rosh says on that, on these Yisraelitim, that it's really not a Raya. It's a near the Ein Raya Mikan. Why? So there, because really Kusum under the Raisa level of perfectly acceptable Eidim. We're going like the Manda Omer, the Kusum Ageri Emes. You're familiar with the Kusum with the ones who converted, Tamas Sancheirev, to Yiddishkeit, to being Jews. And there's a Shaila Gemara throughout Shas about the status of the Kusum. So this Gemara in Gittin is going like the Manda Omer, the Kusum Ageri Emes. They were full-fledged Jews, and Benatari would be able to accept them. Even though Chochwich was suspecting them of not being reliable, you can't just go to blanket sweeping statement about the Kusum under the Raisa level and totally sweep them away and say that they're not accepted. However, the Rabbanon did come along on the Rabbanon level, under the Darag of the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon said that you can't accept the Eidus of the Kusum, but since the Raisa level is perfectly good, it's just the Rabbanon, that therefore the Rabbanon were willing to accept that the one Yid comes along, if he signed below the Kusi, then we know that not only he's good, but the Kusi is good as well. So in other words, the second Derech of the Rosh, he says in Befeirish, he's not necessarily accepting this idea that the problem of two Eidim, as opposed to one, is because of Gzeiras Melech. It could be Yidol Shash Meshacher, but over here, Yoistan and the Reis level have two signatures anyway, because the Kusi's level is fine on the Torah level, so therefore, I'll accept the Yid and the Kusi together as two Eidim, even if technically it's all based on the liability of the one Yid. There is also the Sefer HaChinuch in the beginning of Tof Kuf Chof Gimel, which is actually the Isser not to accept one Eid alone in the Beis Din, and that the Sefer HaChinuch says in the Shroshei HaMitzvah, what's the problem of accepting just one Eid alone? So he says on that because the Yetzer Hara is constantly Ra and the Lev HaOdom, Afilu Yiyah HaOdom B'tachlis HaKosher, even if the person is the most kosher person in the world, he'll never be saved for occasionally doing a virus, and being Nichshar, one of the sons sometimes in a virus. And Meila zakt of them the Sefer HaChinuch, because any Yid is olol to fall through in the Atzata Yetzer and to be Nichshal and to say to lie, you know, to have an aid. So therefore, we never want to rely on one aid, and we always demand to have two aidim. Once you have two aidim, zakt the Chinuch, then we say Chazaka b'chol zer Yisrael shal yaskimu shnayim lohoed b'sheker g'day l'chazaka. That's what he says. We have an assumption, a Chazaka, that two people wouldn't get together, two kosher Yidden get together and lie. And maybe once you have two, that's reliable. So the Sefer HaChinuch actually is before Beferish that he learns up that the din of the chasaron of the one aid instead of the two aidim is that the one that has some sort of a shach m'shaker, that he's taka less reliable. And Mela, therefore, that's why the Torah was matzrich too. He's not going like the other day in Tzaisa Rosh, it's just a question of Xeris HaKosev. So the truth of El Gemara be'emes, the simple Lashon of El Gemara is really mashma, like the Tzad, that it's really an issue of reliability and nemonus. The Gemara's Lashon over here is that if we're talking about that the one aid came to Mechayev HaShvua, so Ilah Shvua is that the Gemara, Hemune Mehemen Kebeitre, that's Lashon of Gemara. If you're coming for Shvua, the aid is believed. Mehemin like a beitrei, believed by a shvu like a beitrei. Pastor this mavur that the chsar normally in having one aid instead of two, the chsar would have been a lack of believability. So therefore, we by shvu, he said the Torah was a muni mehemin and did trust him and did believe him. Al kapanim of hazoi vayit mechayv a shvu, he believed like the two. So al gemara, the gemara is really mashma kepshutai. It's going like the tzad that the issue with the one aid instead of the two is a chsar of netmonos and not just the gather of the exeris hakosev. The Gemara Tzim Soif is Masik on Amud Beis, that the case of the Machloikis of Meir Navonon, where a Meir holds that the person could pass the Eid of Solzer, is a case where the Baldin is coming together with another Eid, Mevachot, another Eid, to pass a Yenim's Eid, and to make him pasul. So vet the Gemara. I mean, how could I pass? How could I be made edus together with another aid to pasul your aid? I'm an egeb dover because I want to win my court case. The Vashtetzach is going to want to disqualify your aid. So what would be the case in which I'll be able to get together to with somebody else, according to a mayor, with another aid to be made on your aid, and he's an aid posel? What would be the case? So if then Zot the Gemara, where the case was that I'm being made, that he comes from a mishpacha psula, from a psul mishpacha. That's it, like Rashi explains, that I'm testifying together with another aid that this entire family comes from, going back a couple of days, let's say, is a family of avodim, Zot Rashi. And Mela, I'm not really directly testifying an aidus, which is directly on you, so Bazundu specifically on you. Rather, it's a klolia sticker edus upon your entire mishpacha, that is a mishpacha upon a vodim, which happens to tangentially be negated to you as well, because you happen to be a chaluk of that mishpacha, you're a child, a product of that mishpacha. Vibat, that the asoda of the edus is on the mishpacha, but klolos and on this specific person. So therefore, that's why the mayor held that I would be able to get together with another aid and passel that the entire mishpacha of the enemy aid that you're bringing is a mishpacha psula of avodim, even though it ends up that I end up myself gaining a lot on that deal, a lot on that aid that I said, because now your aid end up being possible. Alpha PK and your mayor hold that we go both to the etzem shem of the aid, which is the klal on the family, not specific on that aid, and the mayor, therefore, I'll be able to testify. The chom hold that I can't get together because it's negate to me as well. I do self close self end up gaining, and I can't get it with another aid to passel your aid of the mishpacha. The sefer Yega Ha'aryeh over here, a very important sefer from Rabbi Pamaranchik, the Mechaber of the Emek Brochum, the Sefer Yegah over here points out on the face of it, it's a very, very difficult machloikis to understand. But Chlau Rav Meir Shita is very hard. I grant that in Lomdus, there's a Lomdus, a thing that happens to be the truth, that the family, the clothes is getting passed by me, the general family is being called, labeled a Mishpacha of Avodim on account of me, but the Sof Kol Sof, ultimately, I end up gaining a great deal because of what I said, your aid is totally knocked out. And he's completely knocked out, then he's not going to be able to be Meir, then it may like, you know, winning my case, I'm a vada very negay in the mitzvahs. Why does it really help the fact that the asoy, the fundamental, we look upon my edus as being upon the klal of mishpacha and not just upon that specific person? That's the Yego Ha'aryeh's kasha. The Yego Ha'aryeh gives the following teretz. He says, in his opinion, be'emes, this depends upon a yesoidistic of fundamental machlokes achroinim, machlokes apoiskim, in understanding the yesoid absol of an egeya bedova, why an egeya can't be an aid. So the razoi, we find there's a big machlokes achroinim, machlokes apoiskim, a shaila, whether the yesoid absol of negeya is based on chash mashaker or based upon the of odom korev etzel atmoy and etzem poslot korev. Some learned thus haste that the reason why a negeya can't pass, he can't be made, is because he's choshed that he'll push a lie. His heart convinces him because of the fact that he's negeya, it ends up having some kind of impact on him one way or the other. So therefore, he may end up lying, and because of the shash mashaker, that's why the negeya can't pass him. Others say, however, that it's not a special shash mashaker, rather it's a gzeres hakosev that the person who's negeya, since it's negeya to you, you become the, so to speak, the person that the edus is about. If it's negay to you, then the edus is about you. You yourself are being directly impacted. It's edus about you, and no person is allowed to be made about himself. Like the Gemara says, Odom korov etel atzmoi. And that's exactly a concept issue, like we said before, that the halacha that a korov can't be made, and then it's mavur in the moav basir, it's not because of shash mashaker, but because of the fact that you're intrinsically possible with exactly a concept. So those are the two tzadim when negay can't testify, either shash mashaker or korov etel atzmoi. This shaila is the subject of a very important machlokes hapoiskim in Choshen Mishpot, Siman Lamed Zayin, but again to a scenario, a case that's given in the Gemara and given in the Shulchan Aruch over there, of somebody who sells a field, Shaloi Ba'achrayas. It means he sells it that he's not going to be responsible for it, to make good on it if it ends up getting seized or taken away from the buyer. So he sold the Shaloi Ba'achrayas, and then later on, the Oirer comes along, somebody comes along with a claim that it's been all along his, and he wants to take it away from the buyer. And Ruvain, the seller, doesn't have any stake in it one way or the other, L'choira, because of the fact that he sold the Shaloi Ba'achrayas, and he's not going to have to make good on the sale in any event. Nonetheless, he's not allowed, this is what it says, he's not allowed to go and testify in favor of his buyer, Shimon, to testify to the mayor that the field was his and it was correctly sold to Shimon. Why? Ila Maisa, he doesn't stand to gain or lose either way. So of them, the answer is given, based upon the Gemara, that the reason is because Ruvain, the seller, wants his Balchoiv to be able to collect from that field, in the event that the Balchoiv will show up to collect from Ruvain. Ruvain borrowed money once, Ruvain wouldn't have money, money, if he has no money to pay back, then the din is about chayk to go to Shimon, the buyer, and collect the field, because the field has a shibud karkoif, a lien on that field. Reuven wants that field to remain in the hands of Shimon, that his bachayk will be able to collect it. Even though, ultimately, we're talking about a case where Reuven doesn't have any money of his own, that's why the bachayk is going to the field, to go to Shimon to collect from the field, because Reuven doesn't have money. He doesn't have money of his own, what's the difference to him, whether the buyer collects from Shimon's field or not? Nonetheless, the halacha is that Reuven is concerned, he doesn't want it to be said upon himself, loy ve'rosha v'lo yishalem, that a person who borrows is a rosha if he doesn't pay back. He doesn't want it said about himself that loy ve'rosha v'lo yishalem, and that's why he dafke has an agius, he has a stake in this thing, that he's going to want the field to stay in Shimon's possession in order that Reuven's own balchay could eventually collect from that field, so it shouldn't be said on Reuven, loy ve'rosha v'lo yishalem. The shach over there brings down from the Levush, that Levush explained that this concern that Reuven has, loy ve'rosha v'lo yishalem, is not a chash meshaker. It's not that we are concerned that Reuven will lie on account of that, but rather it's an etzem psul of Odom Koyev Eitzel Atzmoy. V'belt that Reuven has a stake in this thing. He doesn't want it to be set upon himself, loy ve'rosha v'lo yishalem, so he wants the field to be stayed by Shimon, so Reuven's credit is to take it from Shimon. Then it's not a chash meshaker, zokt de Levush, but rather it is a Gzeiras HaKosev, that since it's negay to him, he's a korov. Zok Teshach. Why did Levush have to speak that out, and why is it negay over here, to understand that it's not a shash meshaker? Zok Teshach, the problem that Levush had, in his opinion, was Levush was bothered by a problem that we find in before Sheikh Gemara asked over there, in Baba Basa by the Sugya. And that is that L'chayra doesn't make any sense to say that Reuven is really going to lie in Bezin because of Loiv HaRosha L'Yashalem. He's worried he doesn't want to be called a Rosha. Zok Teshach, we all know that to may either Sheker and Bezin is a much, much bigger Aveira than Loi V'Roshav L'Yishalem. Loi V'Roshav L'Yishalem was a Pasuk in Mishlei, and Ataka says the person has some sort of an element of Rishus in him if he borrows and doesn't pay back. But it's not the same thing at all as in either Sheker and Bezin. Mamash is a terrible, terrible Aveira. It's much more Chomedic Aveira. So if that's the case, what person is going to be Meshaker because in order to avoid the Loi V'Roshav L'Yishalem, in order to avoid not having the Pasuk in Mishlei applied to him, that he's a Rosh, he doesn't pay back, etc., what person would be Meshaker than that if being Meshaker ends up that you're out of the frying pan and into the fire, because now you're out of a smaller Aveir and into a much, much bigger Aveir that you might have made either Sheker and Bezdin. So L'chayre, what's the chashash that a person would lie? The person would not lie. Then Zot Levush, that Levush had to speak out, Zokte, that we're not talking about a concern that you lied, it's Takano Shash Meshaker, but the din of Negius is Etzem Paslus because of the fact that you correlate L'atzmoy, that Levush speaks out, and maybe you do have a Negius, you might see a care, you want this field to stay in hands of Shimon, so your buyers can take it back. So even though the Negius logically won't lead to a Shash Meshaker, Afal Pikein, Levush is still saying that there's a problem of Negius. So that's what Levush took out this din. So you see in Levush, Levush was going that the problem of an Negia is correlate L'atzmoy. The Shach says that he personally would reject this teretz. In his opinion, Zok the Shach, the psul of Negius, he could say, is that it's a Shash Meshaker. So why does a person have a Shash Meshaker to lie that the field should stay in the hands of Shimon? I lamaisa, the lying itself is a much bigger aveir. That the Shach, the truth is that the Ramban on the Sugya over there already asked the Kash of the Rimagash. And the Ramban brings a teretz, a different teretz than the one that we said just now from Levush. The Ramban answers that it's not that the person himself is so concerned about the aveir, but he doesn't want to look like an Avarian and a Rosh in the eyes of the people. It's his image that he's trying to keep up. And if he borrows and doesn't pay back, the people, all the onlookers, are going to apply to him this pasuk of Leir Rosh Leir Shalom, and they'll all call him a Rosh. So because of that chashash, he doesn't want to be called that way, therefore he'll lie to leave the field in the hands of Shimon, and that his creditors will have to take away. And nobody knows, of course, that he lied. So as far as everybody, the onlookers are concerned, he's fine. So mainly the person really does have a Shash Meshaker because of what he look like in the eyes of the onlookers. That's the correct chat. And the Shach seems the notion that Negius is really a Shash Meshaker rather than a Kurva. So if them Zot the Yego Ha'ari over here, then he thinks that it could be that's good for the Yisrael Machloik and Remei Nachom. Let's say it this way. If I'm going to learn the Psul of Negius is a Shash Meshaker, you might come to lie, Zot the Yego Ha'ari and Remei Asfora in this Sugi is totally down the tubes. It doesn't make any sense. Because what's enough community whether I'm testifying directly on the person and saying that he's apostle, and he's an Evan, and he can't testify, or I'm testifying on the Kholius of the Mishpacha, that the Mishpacha but Kholusa, I'm going back a couple of days. What's the difference? Either way, a person has exactly the same negius in terms of the effect that it's going to have upon himself. Exactly the same shash meshaker, if you're concerned that there is a shash meshaker, he's going to come to lie. He'll lie in either of these scenarios. What's the difference one and the other? Either way, it ends up knocking this eight out, which he has a very big stake, and he wants to knock the eight out. If them zokti yego ha'ari, it's muchrach that Remeir learned up like the shita salavosh. And Remeir must have held that the concern for
Kor Kone Gius is not based upon the Chash Meshach, but rather based upon Kurva, and then Zok there, you could be done to say a Chiddush over here to understand Reb Meir. So because then you could clear to say that Reb Meir held that there is a distinction between where my Eidus that I'm saying is directly going to benefit me, or is going to create a situation which will indirectly benefit me by being causing a hashtalshalos, a chain of events which will cause some benefit to me down the line. If it's a chashash of chashash mashaker, it doesn't make any sense to make such a chiluk, either I'm a mashaker or not. But if it's a question of kurva, you could taina that only a korov klape those statements which have in and of themselves a direct benefit to me. Now, shanking those things which are don't directly benefit, they just end up creating a hishtalshalos of circumstances, a chain of circumstances which end up benefiting to me, that doesn't make me into a korov. So therefore, if I testify that the person himself is personally has some kind of direct paslos and therefore can't testify against me, then I'm a korov clapping that testimony of mine, and mele I can't say it. Mashing, if I'm testifying about his general mishpocha, I'm not testifying about him directly. I'm not testifying about his mishpocha. There was Avod and Nagan to Klal Yisrael a couple of days ago. They were the progenitors of this mishpocha, and they brought this entire mishpocha around, and Mela, this person directly, Mela ends up that he's also possible because he is a product of that mishpacha. But since the direct testimony that I'm saying was about is not about him directly, so therefore I don't have enough koro if klapi that testimony that could be the asset of the sheet that's with Meir. So that the rabbanon that argue on the Meir, you could be that the rabbanon taka held that the psul of on the giyosaf shash mashakri like the other day and the achrayim, and Mela therefore the rabbanon taka don't make this distinction between whether the testimony is directly benefiting me or indirectly. Either way, I know good and well that by ending up having him labeled an eved by virtue of my eidus, I certainly end up gaining from that because he can't be made against me anymore, and that's sufficient according to the Rabbanon, and that would certainly work if the Rabbanon goes shach mashaker. But he says, Benet says not murchach, it's possible to clear to say that perhaps the Rabbanon also agree that the asoid of the negius is because of the din kurva. And Rabbanon held that any kind of eidus that I say, which in any way will benefit me, makes me a korov because it's called being made about myself. Regardless of whether it's direct benefit to me or indirect benefit which ends up accruing to me, either way, as long as this son of benefit will eventually come to me by means of this testimony, I'm a korov klapi that as well. And that's what Rabbanon shita, that's what Rabbanon don't make this distinction of mayor made about whether I'm being made directly on the passage of the person himself or on the klal of his mishpach, which a mele ends up passing. Either way, the Rabbanon going to hold that I can't say the testimony of Negeya. Zok the Yego Ha'aye, that this exact same Chakiru also underpins the Shiloh that you have in Rashi in the next side of the Gemara with Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is up another way, like the Gemara says, that the case is, the way Rabbi Yochanan sets it up in the next piece of Gemara, that the litigant, the other Baldin, had said that he had two sets of Eidim, and he said there were two, he's going to have to bring both, like the Gemara explains over there. And so the other Baldin, I get together with someone to passel the first cut of Eidim. At the time when I said this testimony to passel the first cut, it looked like it wasn't a gear to me at all, because Saivi, the other Balzin, has another cut, which he's going to have to bring in anyway. So he has another cut he has to bring in. It looks like my testimony to pass the first cut is not a gear to me. Consequently, I was accepted at that time. Later on, it turned out that the second cut that he said he had were really psulim, and the mail, it all depends on the first cut. Do we say that the first testimony that I said to pass that cut is going to continue to stand, now that it's now determined that I'm a gear? At the time it was thought I'm not, now it's determined that I'm a gear, because everything rises and stands or falls on that first cut, is my eidus going to still stand? So Rashi has two lashaynes and two pshatim in the Gemara. According to Rashi's first lashayn, vibalt, that when I said the eidus, it was not apparent to anyone, that it was an egeia, so therefore the eidus I said will continue to stand. That's Rashi's first pshat. According to Rashi's second pshat, it comes at the opposite, that even though when I said it, it looked like it wasn't an egeia, but vibalt, that now it's determined that I am an egeia, therefore my eidus does not continue to stand, because now we see I'm an egeia b'dover. There's a two lashaynes of Rashi there. What's the underlying question on this? And this actually, the Stipler said the same thing as Hilos Yankov of Hanorot, exactly the same Thalia, that these two Lashonis of Rashi, Mshat and the Gemara, they depend upon this self-same Machloikas and Chakir in the Achronim. That is, if I learn that the Gay is also Shash Meshaker, because I would suspect I'm going to be lying. So here, there's no Shash Meshaker, because at the time, it was apparent to everyone that it was not any Gay, and it wasn't going to be Gay to me at all, this Eidos to Pasal to Eid. If he thought that it was understood that there's going to be another cat that's going to testify against me anyway. So I wasn't an Igeya. And even though now it turns out I wasn't an Igeya, but since I didn't realize, there's no Shash Meshaker. There's no concern that I lied. So if you go on Shash Meshaker, they got the first Lashon of Rashi will be correct, and my original Eidus continues to stand. However, if you learn not the problem was Korva, that I'm Korvet al Atzmoy, so regardless of whether I knew at the time, or was aware at the time, that the other Eidim who were out there were really Psulim, either I didn't know a thing about them, and Taka, there's no Shash that I lied. But the truth of the matter is that they were Psulim all along, and therefore, the question of whether this Eid I'm testifying against is Pasul Lakosher is negated to me. He's the only Eid that there is. He's the only set, the only cat that there is against me. And Meilevad, it's negated to me whether he's Kosher or Pasul. So even though I didn't know it at the time, since it turns out that it really was negated to me, and we realize now it was negated all along, whether this Eid is Kosher or Pasul, so if you hold it the Psul of Korva, I was a Korv to that testimony because it was negated to me, and therefore the Korv Eitzel Atzmoy, and that's the story of the second Malachim Rashi that's going to learn, so the Stipler and the Yegah Ha'ai, the second letter that Rashi holds, and it turns out it's a glory milsa that I was puzzled and my Eidus had rejected, even though at the time I had no idea and there was no Shash of a Meshaker.
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on any daf and shas, including Maram HaKlemis on each shiur, please visit shasilluminated.org. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the daf worldwide. We can be reached at 203-312-SHAS, or you can email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.